Perek Zion opens up. Vayvo anshe kiryas yorim, vayalus oren Hashem, vayviu oisel beis avinodov bagiva. It's Elazar benoy kichu lishmaras oren Hashem. So now we're holding. We just mentioned last week how the people of Beit Shemesh did not want the Aron to be with them because they killed 70 people because they didn't give it the Aron the honor it deserves, and so now they're sending the Aron to the city of Kiryas Yearim. So they bring it to the city of Kiryas Yearim, and they bring it to the house of Avinadav Bagiva, the house of Avinadav, who is living on the mountain or the hill. Now, the Radak explains that there are two people named Avinadav, and that's why I have to mention Avinadav, who lives on the hill. And or another pshat is that Avinadav had two houses, and we're referring to the house that he had on the hill. And they sanctified his son Elazar to be the one to take care of the Aron. What happens next? Pasuk Beis continues. Vayim yoyim sheves ha'orin b'kiris yorim v'yir b'yomim v'yu esrim shana v'yinu kol Beis Yisrael achrei Hashem. The Aron sat in the city of Kiryas Yearim for 20 years. And during these 20 years, the Jewish people began following again in the ways of Hashem. It mentions here a very interesting word. V'yinhu. Yinhu really, in Hebrew, means that they were following, they were going according to. But the commentators note that Vayinu also comes from the word Nehi. Nehi in Hebrew means crying, tearing, and refers to the fact that Bnei Israel, they did tshuva, they regretted what they've done in the past, and they cried over it. They regretted it so deeply that they were crying. And the word Vayinu over here is referring to the crying and the tearing that the Jewish people did for what they have done wrong before. So Shmuel realizes that this is the right time to approach Bnei Israel and offer them to really make a full recovery for what they have done wrong. Pasuk Gimel says, Vayomer Shmuel al kol Bnei Israel, Leimer, im b'chol levavchem etem shavim al Hashem. Shmuel approaches the Jewish people and he says, if you are returning to Hashem with all your heart, remove all the idols from within you, you should prepare yourself to worship Hashem, and then He will save you from the hand of Plishtim. Now, the Malbim explains that there are three things that a person has to do in order to do tshuva. And they have to be done both internally and practically, externally. Those three things are, first of all, regret of what is done in the past. That's why Shmuel is telling them, "In b'chol levavchem atem shavim el Hashem." If you're returning to Hashem with all your heart, meaning you fully regret what you have done wrong, and you have to, first of all, feel it internally and, as we're going to see later, they have to speak everything out they have done wrong, which is called vidui. And what else do you need to do? Asiru seloke anechem v'techechem. You have to remove the idols from within you. You have to prepare yourself to not follow the idols anymore and follow the ways of Hashem. V'ashtarois. And you actually have to remove those physical idols that are still within you. You have to get rid of them, practically. You have to take upon yourself from now on to go ahead and do the right thing. So it's, first of all, three things. Regret what you've done in the past. Second step, getting rid of the idols, both internally and externally. The third thing is accepting upon yourself for the future to follow in the ways of Hashem. And that's the deal that Shmuel is offering Bnei Israel to do full tshuva. And then he says, if you do that, then Hashem will save you from the hands of the Plishtim. They were, until then, they were worshipping the Plishtim. The Plishtim were the powerful nation at the time, and they controlled the Jewish people. And now Shmuel is offering them, if you really do full tshuva, you will be released and be free from the ruling of Plishtim. In fact, Bnei Yisrael agreed to this. Vayisir Bnei Yisrael sebe'olim ve'esash derois. They remove the idols from within them. Vayavdu es Hashem levadai. They worship Hashem alone. Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel now says, Kivtu is kol Yisrael mitzbasa ve'espal ba'atchem el Hashem. I want you to gather all of Bnei Yisrael to this place called the mitzvah. And I will now daven for you to Hashem. In fact, ve'ikvitzu mitzbasa, ve'ishav umayim, they gather to this place called the mitzvah, and they, it says over here, ve'ishav umayim, they took water. Then the commentators explain that it actually refers to the water that, the tears that they were shedding. This water is really the tears that they were shedding. They didn't actually draw water from any water source, they were actually crying. Ve'ishpuchu lifnei Hashem, they pour their heart in front of Hashem. Like it says, Shifchi kamayim limech, pour your heart out like water. That's exactly what they're doing over here. Ve'yatzumu b'yom ahu, they actually took upon a fast. Ve'yirmu shem chatan al Hashem, they, this what we mentioned before, in order to do tshuva, you have to actually regret, but it's not enough just to regret. Within your heart, you have to speak it out. You have to speak out everything you've done wrong. That's exactly what they're doing here. They said, they actually mentioned every aver that they did, every sin that they've committed. What's the last and final stage in order to do tshuva? It's very nice to take care of bin adam l'makayim, all the sins you have done between you and Hashem, but how about all the sins that were done between man and man? Stealing, cheating, in business, whatever it was. So now Shmuel is taking care of all these situations that they have done wrong between themselves, and he actually judged them for every court case, every disagreement within them. He actually judged them right there on the spot to make sure that there is no disagreement, no misunderstanding, no one being upset at the other for what they have done wrong to them. So they're taking care, they're covering all their bases, making sure that their tshuva is completely full. Now, the second part of the deal that Shmuel promised them, if you do full tshuva, then Hashem will save you from the hands of Plishtim. Let's see how that will unfold in the following psukim. Pasuk Zayin continues, Ve'ishmo Plishtim ki hiskartu ben Yisrael mitzbasa. Plishtim now realized that all of the Jewish people gathered up to this place called the mitzvah, and they figured that the Jewish people are trying to rebel against them. They're trying to regain power and regroup and attack them. Ve'yalu sarni Plishtim al Yisrael, Ve'ishmo ben Yisrael ve'yiru mipnei Plishtim. Now the generals and the army of Plishtim are now approaching Bnei Yisrael to engage them in war. And Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, are watching this and they're terrified. They don't know what to do. Pasuk Ches says, Vayomer Bnei Yisrael al Shmuel, Al tacharash mimenu mizoik al Hashem alekenu, Vayoshein miat Plishtim. Now Shmuel promised them already that if they do full tshuva, they will be saved from the hands of the Plishtim. But now the Jewish people are telling him, yes, it's true. It might be true, we might have done full tshuva, but the problem is that now when the Plishtim are trying to engage us in war, we are terrified, we are so scared, and therefore we do not have the ability to go ahead and fight them. So please continue to daven to Hashem, to pray to Hashem, and ask Him to save us from the Plishtim in a way where we won't even have to fight at all. Ask Hashem to do everything for us. We are not capable to fight because we are so scared, we are terrified. And ask Hashem to not only save us, but save us in a way where we will not have to do anything. Pasuk Tes, Ve'ikach Shmuel tzle cholav echad, v'yalu oyle kol la Hashem. Shmuel now sacrifices young sheep. Vayizak Shmuel al Hashem, Ba'ad Yisrael vayaneu Hashem. He now turns to Hashem again. He continues davening and praying, and Hashem answers his prayers. Vayishmuel mala oilem. As Shmuel is offering this sacrifice, Uflishtim nikshalim l'chamon be'Yisrael. Plishtim are now actively engaging in war against the Jewish people. Vayaram Hashem b'kol gadol b'yoyim ahu al plishtim b'yehumeim v'yinokvu lifnei Yisrael. The Bible explains that the voice of Hashem can be divided up to many different levels. Just like we saw in Har Sinai, where Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hear that voice of Hashem, but the rest of the Jewish people were not able to hear it. And there are many times where Hashem refers to a Navi, he speaks to him, and there are only certain people who can hear this voice. Either it's the Navi, the prophet, or specific people. So what's happening over here is Hashem is speaking loudly with his powerful voice. And this is a voice that only the Plishtim could hear, and not the Jewish people. The Jewish people did not hear this voice at all. And this voice was so strong and so powerful that the Plishtim, when they heard it, they were terrified, they were stunned, so to speak. And that in and of itself caused them to lose the war. They were completely defeated. Now the Jewish people did not even have to fight back. All they had to do was chase them and kill them out. They didn't actively have to go and fight back against the Plishtim, because Hashem took care of it for them. Ve'etu anshei Yisrael min ha-mitzpah. The Jewish people left this place where they were, the mitzpah. Ve'yirdefu es Plishtim. They were chasing the Plishtim. Ve'yakum ad mitachas al-beis kar. They were killing them up until a place called Beis Kar. Ve'ikach Shmuel Evan Achas. Shmuel is now taking this big rock, big stone. Ve'yasam ben ha-mitzvah ben Hashem. Ve'ikach Shmuel Evan Ha'ezer. Ve'yoymar adhena azaron Hashem. He's taking this, he's putting this in between the city called Mitzvah, where they were, and this other place called Hashem, Beis Hashem. And he calls the name of the stone Evan Ha'ezer, the stone that helped us, to show that up until this point, Hashem helped us to fight the Plishtim. Ve'ikonu ha'plishtim ve'lo yosfu oy lovim b'gvul Yisrael. The Plishtim now they surrendered in front of the Jewish people, and they did not enter again the border of Israel. The hand of Hashem was controlling the Plishtim all the days of Shmuel. But all the cities that the Plishtim previously took away from the Jewish people, which were mentioned before, we mentioned them last week, because these were the cities that brought the offering together with the Aron. They made these images of gold mice, and these were the cities that were inflicted by the disease that Hashem brought upon them. These cities once used to be belong to the Jewish people. The Plishtim took them over, and now because they won the war, the Jewish people are taking them back. These cities are Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gas, Ekron, and Gvulon. Those are the five cities that the Jewish people took back from the Plishtim. Not only that, not only were they not being controlled by the Plishtim, but they used to be controlled by another nation called the Amori, and now, when the Jewish people are in power, they're the ones who are now controlling Amori. Vayishpat Shmuel as Yisrael kol yimei chayav. Shmuel continued to judge the Jewish people all of his life. V'alach midishana b'shana v'shava v'beis el v'agilgal v'amitzpah. V'shavat Yisrael is called Mekoyim Yisraelim. Shmuel did not sit, he did not remain in his house and wait for the Jewish people to come to him to ask, to seek for judgment. Rather, he himself went ahead to every single city and he judged the Jewish people. He helped them in any question or problem or issue that they had. And this is not like the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli just sat in their place because they felt themselves too important to go ahead from city to city to drag themselves to go around the whole land of Israel. They sat in their place. Shmuel did the opposite. He did the right thing. He did not ask everyone to come to him. He himself went to everybody, to every single city. He went back to this place called the Ramah, the hill, or the mountain, because that was where his house was. And he built a Mizbeach to Hashem. This is the end of the parak. Now, at this point, the Ralbag brings 36 lessons that we can deduce from the story until now. Now, we're not going to do all 36 because we're going to be here all night. And it's not Shavuos tonight, so we're not going to do all 36, but just a few. Just to get a feeling of every lesson that we can learn from this story, starting from the beginning of Shmuel. First lesson he brings down is that Shmuel had very important yichus, both from his mother's side and his father's side, and that in and of itself brought him to such high levels from the second he was born. From the second he was born, remember, he was dedicated to live with Eli, the Kohen at the time, and that yichus, that lineage, that important lineage that he had was what enabled him to be there from the second he was born. That's one lesson. Second lesson is that to show us that Hashem always seeks to help the people who are, so to speak, the underdogs, the ones who are being chased and are being oppressed. As we saw in the story between Chana and Penina, Chana was the one without children. Penina had 10 children. And Penina kept on making fun of Chana. Oh, you have no Rami children, I have 10 children. She kept on teasing her and making her feel bad. And we see over here that Hashem seeks and tries to help the person who is being chased. It says in the pasuk, Hashem always seeks the person who is being chased. We see that in many other places. We find that all the sacrifices that are brought at the temple are all made from animals who are not the predators, rather the prey. Sheep, goats, those kind of animals, not lions or tigers, anything like that. Not the ones who are chasing, rather the ones who are being chased. The third lesson is that when the Beis HaMikdash is Kayam, when the temple is going to be rebuilt, is very important, even though the mitzvah is only for the person himself to go ahead and go up during Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, and bring a korban. It's very important for him to bring his family as well. First of all, because by bringing his family, he's showing them what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. They will be inspired as well. Not only as he will be inspired, but also his family will be inspired from the holiness, the Kedusha, that goes on during the regal and the Beis HaMikdash. And not only that, it's very important that a person brings his family, because only when a person is with his family is he completely happy. When a person is away from his family, he could reach a certain level of happiness, but on a very large scale, he's missing that high level that he could achieve. And that's why it's very important to bring his family. And that's what we saw with Elkanah. He brought Penina with her 10 children, and Chana. He made sure to bring everyone, his whole family, when he came up to the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth lesson is that we should always try ourselves to be like Hashem and to help the oppressed and the poor. Like we saw with Elkanah. Elkanah, when he realized that Chana was being teased and being put down by the other wife, Penina, he went ahead, and when he was giving out the portions of his korban, he kind of like gave out the portions to the sons of Penina, or 10 sons. He kind of like gave them out just like that without much attention. But when it came to the portion of Chana, he actually himself personally brought it over to Chana with great honor, great respect, to show her that he appreciates her, even though she doesn't have any children, and she might feel bad about that, to show her that she's very much appreciated, and she should not feel bad about it. So we also should try to help the people who are being oppressed. The fifth lesson is not to go ahead and to be haughty and to try to, so to speak, feel better and feel so good about ourselves when we see a person who's not doing as well as we are. Like we saw when Penina went ahead and made fun of Chana, she was punished for that. All of her children died, except for two, and those who did not die because she actually begged Chana to daven to Hashem that those last children will not die. And so we see that it's very, very important to not to make fun of people, not to oppress them, not to put them down, not to be haughty, not to feel too important. The sixth lesson is that it's not befitting to daven and to pray after a person eats and drinks. Because what Chana did was she went ahead, she ate and drank, and after that she went ahead to daven to Hashem. And Eli, because he heard, he saw that she was davening in a situation where she was not speaking at all, she was just whispering, he thought that she was intoxicated, she was drunk. And that was brought out because she ate and drank before she davened. The seventh lesson is that when a person puts a lot of intent and kavana into his davening and a lot of crying, that in of itself gives great power to the prayer. When Chana went ahead and she was davening from a bitter heart, from a bitter place, and she was crying and beseeching and tearing, that made her prayer so much more powerful than it could have been, and that's what brought forth having this son. Shmuel was such a great person. The eighth lesson is to teach us that when a person davens, he should try and daven in a loud voice. Because when Chana went ahead and she whispered, Eli thought she was intoxicated. Therefore, it's very important not to whisper while we daven. It's important to daven out loud. The ninth lesson is to teach us that when a person is asking something from Hashem, asking a favor from Hashem, he should make a vow. If, Hashem, you give me what I'm asking for, I will go ahead and do such and such. Just like Chana, when she
We shouldn't do that today now, though, right? Is that talking about back then, or is it talking about today?
Well, not necessarily a vow, but just to say, you know, like a person could always say, listen, if Hashem, if you give me what I'm asking for, then I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to learn a little more Torah, I'm going to take upon myself to do, you know, more chesed, you know, something like that. Maybe not a nether in and of itself. More like a trade. Just like Chana did when she went ahead and she promised Hashem that if he answers her prayer, she will dedicate her son for his whole life to worship Hashem, which is exactly what she did. And the tenth lesson, we're going to end with this for tonight. That a person should always go ahead and try to make sure that other people are also doing the right thing. If you see a person who's doing the wrong thing, you should go over and tell him. Obviously do it in a nice way, in a way that will be accepted. But because we saw when Eli went ahead and he told Chana that, you know, I think you're intoxicated, you know, what are you doing here? He was doing that because he was trying to help her and he was trying to make the right thing happen. And we should also make sure that we do that, obviously in a way that will be received. the Chazal tell us, "Al techleitz penis naeka." Don't rebuke a person who's a joke or who's not going to take it seriously because he's going to hate you. If you rebuke a person who's wise, who's a man of valor, he will accept it. So one of the explanations are to go out and tell a person, "Oh, what are you doing? You're such a, how could you do that? It's such a horrible thing to do. You're such a bad person." Then he's not going to accept it. But if you go ahead, if you show him like that he's such a bad person, he won't accept it. But if you say, "Listen, you know, you're such an important person. You're so honorable. You're so respected. It's not befitting for a person like you to go ahead and do this kind of thing." If you speak to him like that, he will receive it in a much better way. Okay, we're going to stop here tonight.
I thought there was like this Gemara in Brachos, like